logos appear. Adept, able disabled all people together. Formerly, the Spastic Society of India. Chakotia Group. Z Music Company. And Viacom 18. Ribbons of light swirl around network logos. Colors. Rishte. Nick. MTV Stay Raw. VH1. Sonic Nickelodeon. And Comedy Central. Viacom 18 Motion Pictures presents an Ishan Talkies production. With deepest love, Mama Chotiyama Baby Pia. Inspired by my sister Malini. In this film, both Hindi and English are spoken. All subtitles, whether of Hindi or English, are read by subtitle narrator. At times, characters speak both Hindi and English in the same passages. Dialogue may begin in Hindi, then switch to English, or vice versa. I will provide the audio description throughout the film. A blue and white van rolls down a highway and into a city. It shares the crowded streets with cars, buses, mopeds, and three-wheeled motorized taxis. The driver, a woman in her 40s, wears an orange scarf over her pale green tunic. She holds her arm out the window to signal a turn. A man with a thick salt and pepper beard and a deep red turban sits in the passenger seat. In back, a young teenage boy gazes out an open window. A breeze ruffles his thick, dark hair. A young woman grips the edge of her open window, pulls herself forward, and looks outside. She wears her long dark hair pulled back, accentuating her delicate features and full lips. Co-producers, Chakotia Group and Adapt. Casting by Nilesh Maniyar and Adrian Stern. Starring Hussein Dalal, Tenzing Dalha, Shayoni Gupta, Revati, Kuljeet Singh, Mahar Kushu, Galki Kekla, and William Mosley. Produced by Shonali Bose and Nilesh Maniyar. Co-writer, director, Nilesh Maniyar. Written and directed by Shonali Bose. In the van, the turbaned man sings. The young woman, Lila, smiles. The boy, Manu.
Papa, I won money. For what? As compensation for listening to such a bad song.
Lila playfully covers her ears. Manu rolls his eyes, glances at his sister, and opens a pocket knife. Papa.
Manu, I'll give you a lot of money. Just listen to the next song. Papa, please stop. I don't want your money. Papa!
The van pulls over beside a small concrete building. Lila.
Bye, Baba.
Bye.
Lila smiles broadly and waves. The van drives on. The woman, Mom, glances in the rearview mirror. Her brief smile disappears as she fixes her gaze on the road ahead. Lila turns to her window, closing her eyes against the sun. Later, Mom opens the van's back door and slides out a long ramp to the ground. Lila watches passing traffic from her window as Mom backs a motorized wheelchair down the ramp. Now, Lila moves through a dining hall. She rolls her chair up behind a young man sitting in a wheelchair. She touches his back.
Hi, Lila.
Oops.
The man, Dhruv, smiles and sips a bottle of orange soda. Lila joins him at his table. Lila's hands drop stiffly to a purse on her lap. She takes out a straw, inserts it into the offered bottle, and takes a sip. Dhruv stares across the room.
Is that girl in your class?
Lila looks up.
Why? Don't be jealous. I'll only marry you. Shut up, Dhruv. You're saying shut up because your eyeliner's wrong.
Lila leans her head on Dhruv's shoulder and follows his gaze. She sees a girl's rear end in slim yellow jeans. Another girl pulls her sweater down over her exposed lower back.
Not bad. You pervert.
Lila rolls down a hallway scanning the doors. She wears a light green floral peasant blouse with khaki capri pants and sandals. She turns toward a door and stops. Now, three men carry Lila and her chair up a stairwell.
Careful. Come on, left. Just a little bit further. Do you guys do any work? The elevator is also not working. Demand a right to information inquiry. The principal is corrupt. Come on.
Lila glances around self-consciously.
Don't keep putting it down.
She knits her brow as she bobs passively between the men. She glances toward the top of the stairwell, then back down at the floor.
Come on. Let's get this over with.
In a classroom, students play guitars, a keyboard, and drums. Lila glances in through the room's glass door. A young woman plays an electric guitar. A young man sings. The woman on electric guitar, Samira, spots Lila and waves her in. Lila's gaze drifts to the singer. When Samira glances again at the door, Lila is gone. Lila retreats down a hallway, holding her head low. Nighttime. Rain falls outside Lila's barred window as she sits at a laptop. A pair of red Beats headphones hang around her neck, alongside her pigtail braids. The laptop displays a full-length photo of Lila sitting outside. Lila drags a box around a portion of the image from the chest up. She clicks a link and crops out the cobblestone street, the buildings in the background, and the wheelchair. She posts the crop photo to Facebook. A message from Samira appears.
Where did you disappear? We were waiting for lyrics.
Lila types a reply. On it. She glances across the room where her brother Manu lies on his bed doing homework. Lila opens the profile picture of the singer, then closes it as her mother passes behind with a stack of folded laundry.
So tell, what else happened in college today? She hung out with her boyfriend, what else? Shut up, Manu. Chill, sis. Don't be shy in front of mom. Manu. Dhruv is not her boyfriend. Can't one make a joke around here? What's the problem with you two?
Mom casts a somber glance at Lila.
If you don't finish your homework, the TV is not coming on.
Later, in her room, Lila wears the headphones over her ears as she works at the laptop. On screen, an ad pops up over her sheet music. Join my sex life now. Lila leans back and looks at the image of a woman clutching her large breasts. Lila unplugs an audio transmitter from the computer. With it still connected to her headphones, she rolls across the room, past a sleeping Manu, to an alcove. With her back to the room, she glances toward Manu, then down at herself. Lila shakily lifts her right arm, then drops her hand down in front of her as she leans left in her chair. Lila stretches up her left arm and grabs the back of the chair. Her legs fall open and her head leans back. Daytime. Lila stares at her reflection in a mirror. Her hair is pulled into a smooth, low ponytail with loose wisps framing her slender face. She applies pink lip gloss to her full lips. She rubs them together, then smiles at her reflection. Now at school, she leads Dhruv into an empty science lab.
Where are you taking me?
Lila smiles playfully as she maneuvers between a row of lab benches. She wears a yellow floral mini dress with gray leggings. She rounds a corner into a book-lined alcove.
Since when did you become a bio student?
They face each other, smiling.
Okay. What?
Lila moves her chair alongside Dhruv's. Beaming, she reaches over Dhruv's lap to the joystick on the arm of his chair. She drives his chair into hers. Lila leans close to Dhruv, gazing into his eyes. She laughs, leaning over the edge of her chair. Dhruv holds her hand in his, caressing it. Lila drapes over the arm of his chair, gazing up at Dhruv. They reach for each other, pulling themselves together over the arms of their chairs. They kiss. Dhruv rests his hand on her side. Lila hooks her wrist behind his neck. At a party, a student smashes a slice of birthday cake onto Nima, the band singer. Two other guys hold Nima back, and the group tumble onto a bed. Lila.
Oh my God.
She keels forward, laughing.
Go! Yeah! Come on, come out. Subu.
Some partiers step onto a balcony. Inside, Lila holds the L-shaped handle of a spoon between her bent fingers. She eats cake. On the balcony, a turbaned man plays guitar. Alone inside, Lila watches. She takes another spoonful of cake just as Nima comes in and grabs a towel.
Shit.
Even at this age, getting cake smeared on my birthday. We should jam.
Yes, definitely.
Tell me when. You can come to my house anytime.
What?
Lila turns away.
Nothing.
Come to your house. To jam.
Lila looks up.
Definitely, Lila.
Come. When? Hey, Nima.
Ah.
Come out, dude.
See.
Bye. Bye.
Nima leaves. At night, Lila sits at the desk in her room. Her arm hovers over the laptop's keyboard as she punches one letter at a time. She types in a Facebook chat window with Nima.
You know Dusokote Minen?
Nima.
Obviously, my language. Assamese, for in your eyes. Why?
Lila smiles and types a response.
For lyrics in band competition. Smile emoji.
Nima replies.
What? That's so cool. Send now.
Lila types.
Chorus sent.
Lila straightens and watches the chat window. She reaches toward the keyboard, then stops. A message appears in the chat window. Nima went offline. Lila stares, unsmiling. A Skype alert appears.
Sis, let me sleep. You'll take a kid's life.
It's Nima.
Lila, you're a rock star. I love it.
Thank you. I'll see you tomorrow.
Okay, definitely, Lila.
We'll try it with the band tomorrow.
Okay. Bye.
Bye, Lila.
Beaming, Lila raises her arms. She falls off the desk chair.
Sis!
She laughs. At school, Lila smooths her dark hair back from her face as she rolls through a busy hallway. She stops, peers ahead, then glances around anxiously. She turns down an empty hall. Blocked by a dead end, she turns back. Dhruv cuts off her escape with his chair.
What? Trying to fob me off with an SMS?
No.
Don't you think we should explore other... Explore? Am I just an experiment to you? Please, forget it.
That's a great idea.
Oh, God. Why?
Because it sucked.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Oh, fuck you. And your stupid friends.
Jealous. Being friends with normal people won't make you normal.
Lila and Dhruv stare hard at each other. Lila turns away. Dhruv moves his chair, opening up her escape.
Asshole.
She leaves.
Coward.
At home in her room, Lila sits at her laptop. She plays chess with a Facebook opponent. Her white knight takes the black queen. Lila looks up toward the door. She smiles and shakes her head. She puts a small device in her pocket. In another room, her mother plucks a long stringed instrument lying across her lap. She sings. Lila enters, pushing a walker in front of her. She sits, resting her head on her mother's shoulder. Mom smiles, tilting her own head toward her daughters. Mom nods encouragingly, waving her hand in rhythm. Now Mom washes Lila in a tub.
Mom? Hmm. Shampoo? I just shampooed you yesterday. Please, just do it, Mom. Who's gonna start a fight with you first thing in the morning?
Lila smiles broadly. She tilts her head back as Mom pours a pitcher of water over her dark hair.
Mom?
Mom pours shampoo into her hand.
Nothing. Tell me. No.
Mom washes Lila's hair.
Okay, don't tell me. You'll get a tummy ache.
Lila laughs.
Mom? I like this boy.
Mom's face grows serious.
He's also into music. Mom, did you hear? Yes, that's great.
Mom forces a brief smile. At school, Lila looks into the library through windows from the hall. A brief smile touches her lips. She composes herself, then drives past the windows, looking in on students working at tables. Nima works alone at a table. In the library, Lila rolls to Nima's table. She winces playfully as she accidentally nudges a chair. Nima moves to a chair beside Lila.
Hi.
Bukji?
No. Nima, I have something for you.
To another student.
Sorry.
It's okay.
Lila hands Nima a folded sheet of paper. He begins to unfold it, but Lila snatches it back.
What is it? Give it to me. Later.
Nima shushes the other students. Lila throws her head back in a laugh and shushes them also. Nima sings at a concert. Lila and the rest of the band are on stage. Go, Lila holds her headphones over one ear. She adjusts the knobs on the sound mixer, then turns to her laptop. Samira plays electric guitar. Lila bobs her head to the music. Audience members jump and clap. Lila watches Nima. A bandmate plays trumpet. Nima points to the frenzied audience. Nima high-fives Lila. Dhruv watches from a booth in the back of the club. Lila sits back and claps. Later, a woman in a sari stands at the microphone as a colleague holds a huge trophy.
What a competition. It was too close. Okay, without delay, the winners are Ramjas College.
Nima, Lila, and their four bandmates retake the stage. The judge hands Nima the trophy.
Thank you, ma'am.
The trophy passes among the band members.
This competition is a milestone. It's not just about music.
When we heard that the lyricist was a disabled musician,
so we had to give the award to her college.
Come on.
Lila's smile disappears.
Your journey must have been very difficult compared to that of a normal musician.
Will you share something with us?
The judge holds the microphone to Lila. Dhruv watches from the back as Lila flips her middle finger to the judge. Later, Nima finds Lila backstage.
It's okay. What can you expect from those fuckers?
Lila, this is Tribe's best song.
Maybe Supu's song was better.
Trust me, Lila, you did a great job.
Come here.
Nima scoops Lila into his arms.
Totally deserved to win. Take care.
He lifts her from her chair, and they hug.
When you're there, everything's okay. The entire band's with you, Lila. No, Nima. You. Just you.
Nima eases Lila back into her chair. He steps back and covers his mouth. Lila's apprehensive gaze falls to the floor.
Everyone's waiting for us. Come. I'll just come.
Nima leaves. Lila's face crumples tearfully as she slumps in her chair. She takes a few heavy breaths, dabs her eye with a knuckle, and straightens. She turns to go. Now, Lila's father and mother sit in a hospital waiting area. In a lab, a doctor draws blood from mom's arm.
When was the last checkup?
Papa.
6 months ago.
Hopeless.
The doctor.
Excuse me?
Papa.
Sorry, not you. Completely ignorant. Just blabbering nonsense. As soon as Lila gets admission in any foreign university, I'll personally phone her and tell her who's normal and who needs brain surgery. Why do you jump to foreign universities at the drop of a hat?
Mom stares hard at Papa as he gathers up a thick folder. Outside, Lila drives her chair down a sidewalk, her wheels reflected in a flooded gutter. A purse hangs from a handle and back. Mom stands by the van, watching Lila's retreating figure. As Lila disappears around a corner, Mom turns to the van. She lifts the van's metal ramp, slides it into place, and shuts the battered rear door. Lila takes a left onto a stone walkway. A few feet away, Mom peers around a tree, watching. Her lips part as she looks down, blinking thoughtfully. Lila sits wearing her headphones, staring ahead. Our view widens. Lila sits in a secluded corner of a courtyard. She glances up, then hurries to turn off her music as Mom arrives. Mom gently removes Lila's headphones and strokes her cheek with a warm smile.
I made a fool of myself. It was not just your song. He doesn't love me, Mom.
Mom cradles Lila's head to her chest. She kisses her daughter's head.
I can't bear going to this college anymore.
Mom caresses Lila's face and strokes her dark hair. Lila reaches up to return the embrace. Mom pulls away, smiles, and kisses Lila's forehead. At night, Papa drives a van as Mom rides in the passenger seat. They share an unsmiling glance. Papa wears a gray suit jacket with a crimson turban. Mom wears a saffron yellow sari with a maroon scarf. A small red dot sits between her brows. At home, Mono reads in bed with a flashlight. Lila reads a book nearby. Mono drops the flashlight and pulls a blanket over his head. Mom pats Mono as she passes his bed.
Lila, come outside. Why? Just come.
Now Mom and Papa sit at a table. Mom smiles proudly as Lila joins them, then hands Lila a letter. Lila takes it and reads.
Dear Lila Kapoor, congratulations on your acceptance to NYU for the fall 2013 semester. We're thrilled to welcome you to the class of 2017.
Lila smiles.
Mom! Papa! Only your mother. I don't support this. Why? What happened in Delhi University is over. To go so far away to America, it doesn't sit well with me. And Delhi has other options. Mom, do you want to go?
Lila turns to Papa.
Don't look there. You want to go, right? Of course.
Mom hugs Lila. She turns to Papa.
You don't come. The two of us are definitely going.
Lila smiles at Papa.
Please, Papa.
Now, Papa steps onto a scale. He steps off, picks up a large suitcase, and weighs himself again.
It's 1 pound over.
Mom.
That's okay. With great difficulty, I've squeezed 1 month's clothing into 2 suitcases. Anyway, they're not going to charge me for being 1 pound overweight. If they make you repack at the airport, don't say I didn't warn you. If you have such a glum face, they'll definitely open them. As if they'll open them.
Lila sits beside Manu, who busies himself with a laptop at the table. Lila drives her chair to a sofa, where Papa sits, glancing idly through a magazine. Papa looks up. Lila waves her arms in front of him. Papa smiles and takes a hand. He stands and lifts Lila from her chair. Lila puts an arm around his shoulders and they dance. Mono joins them, taking Lila's other arm. They bounce energetically. Mom joins in, taking Papa and Manu's hands. They hold hands and dance in a circle. Papa and Mom each raise one arm high, leaning back. They smile playfully at each other as they dance. Papa and Manu rock Lila side to side between them. Mom and Lila hook arms, dancing around each other. Manu and Papa ease Lila into her chair. Mom opens the door to a woman carrying a gift bag. They hug.
Hello, Shubhangi. How are you? I'm fine. Hello. Are you done with packing? Yes. Hi, Dhruv. Hi. Thank you.
Drew follows the woman inside, smiling as he greets the others. His face grows somber as he maneuvers his chair to Lila.
You're leaving without saying bye?
Bitch.
They laugh and clasp hands. The family van drives down a highway. In New York, snow and ice cover sidewalks and benches. A guy checks his phone as he leaves the subway kiosk. Steam billows from vents, drifting past yellow taxicabs. Lila rides along a sidewalk. She wears sneakers, bootleg jeans, and a jacket with a fur-trimmed hood. Mom walks behind, wearing a long cranberry tunic over her jeans and folding her hands together inside a scarf. She shudders. Lila stops at a park where a gray-bearded man plays chess with a younger woman. The man slides his queen forward.
Rook to h5.
Hey!
Sorry.
It's okay, you can watch. Just keep your trap shut.
Yeah.
Mom rests her hand on Lila's shoulder. The man makes a move on the board. Later, Lila and Mom carry plastic grocery bags. Lila's chair sticks in the snow.
Put it on manual. It's stuck.
Mom sets her purse on Lila's lap and hands her an open umbrella. Lila drops the umbrella as Mom clears snow from the chair's wheels. Now at a bus shelter.
Take this.
Mom hands Lila a ticket.
Be home by 4, or I'll call the cops. Don't worry, Mom.
Bye.
Bye.
Lila moves forward as a bus arrives. A side door opens and a ramp unfolds to the sidewalk. Lila rolls aboard and smiles at the driver.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi.
Come on back. I have a place all set up for you on the left.
Mom watches through the window, then discreetly boards the bus.
Where are you headed?
Square.
Say that again, please.
Union Square.
Okay, Union Square. You got it.
Mom breathes deeply and smiles, turning to a window. Now Lila sits in her motorized chair in the back of a classroom. Others sit at tables.
Right from your heart, right from your eyes, right from your liver. Okay, so what we're going to do is have an assignment in which you're going to write from all your senses, okay? I'm going to give you the parameters. You're going to write a story, a poem, rap song. Okay, so write these down.
Lila turns on a recorder.
It is New Year's Eve. You're on a boat. You hear the sound of a cello. You taste an orange. Someone is wearing blue. And you tell a loved one a very personal secret.
Lila's rapt gaze grows thoughtful.
No hiding.
Lila returns the professor's smile.
All right, you have 10 minutes. Go.
Lila turns off the recorder and shakily opens her laptop.
Hello, Layla.
Hi.
So welcome to the Creative Writing Program. I'm so glad you could be with us.
Thank you, Professor.
It's Jose. It's just Jose.
Okay, Jose.
Listen, would you like me to assign a writer to you? In fact, I've already talked to somebody.
Actually, I can type.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
Jose introduces a smiling young man with blonde hair.
That would be wonderful.
Nice.
The student, Jared, nods.
Hi.
Jared turns to his own assignment, tucking a loose strand of hair behind an ear. Lila gazes at his back with a dreamy smile. Later, Jared walks beside her on a sidewalk.
You know, I have an aunt in Birmingham.
I wish I had an aunt in India. You know, I really want to go there. My dream place is Varanasi.
How come?
My stepdad's guru is from there. He came to visit us one time. He emanated such peace.
It's anything but peaceful.
Really?
You could stay with us if you come to India.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
That'd be absolutely amazing.
Lila's smile lingers.
Listen, Lila, I should probably go.
Yeah, you have to. I have to go too.
But I'll see you soon, okay?
Bye.
Bye, Lila.
Later, at a diner with Mom.
We'll go home and cut your nails. They've grown too long. I'm going now to check out the clubs. Student clubs. You've missed the entire semester. Let's go home and study. Mom, I know when I need to study.
Now at a protest, young people behind police barricades wave giant puppets representing the Statue of Liberty and blindfolded justice. Lila drives past on a sidewalk. Police officers monitor the demonstration. Now, among the protesters, Lila circles around, searching the dense crowd anxiously.
No police, no justice, no police.
A young woman beside Lila pumps her fist. Lila shakes her fist and chants along. Protesters and officers shove each other at a barricade. Lila cranes to see around the people in front of her. Protesters knock down a barricade. The young woman beside Lila, who appears to be blind, uses a mobility cane as she stumbles past the toppled barrier. Cloudy gas floats through the air as riot police and gas masks surge into the crowd. One knocks down the young woman beside Lila. Lila helps the woman onto her lap. They roll away through the gas and chaos. Later, still outside, Lila breathes heavily. The young woman, Hanum, sits on some steps nearby. Hanum swallows hard and blinks her eyes. Lila looks around, then turns to Hanum.
These cops are more dangerous than the Delhi police.
This is nothing.
Hanum leans back, eyes closed. Lila pulls a mitten off her bent hand.
Are you from India?
You think all Desis are from India?
I didn't mean. I'm sorry. My mother is from Pakistan. And my father from Bangladesh.
Lila smiles.
I've lived in 7 countries, including Madagascar.
It's actually quite cool that you came out for this. Usually Indians don't.
I'm Lila.
Hanum.
Hanum extends her hand and Lila grasps it. Hanum turns Lila's hand over and feels it with both of hers. Later.
Hanum, this is I, my mom.
Hanum bows. Mom takes her hand.
Lelu, why don't you invite your friend over? Hanum, come for dinner. Mother, I would love to, but I have a paper due tomorrow. Come over any time before I leave. Definitely.
Bye, Lela.
Bye.
The girls shake hands. Mom guides Hanum past them.
Thank you.
A purple flag hangs outside a building. It bears the image of a torch and the letters NYU. Inside, Lila sits alone at a table with her closed laptop. She straightens and glances around the room. Her gaze fixes on a glass door. In the hall, Jared kisses a girl. Lila watches the long, lingering kiss. The girl walks off. Lila looks away from the door as Jared comes in.
Lila! Hey! How's it going?
Good.
Oh, I'm sorry I'm late. I got held up at lunch.
Jared pulls up a chair.
So, do you want to get started?
Yeah.
Okay. Have you chosen a topic for the assignment?
I want to talk about my first relationship.
Yeah?
Jared takes a notepad from his backpack.
There is this guy, Nima. When I fell in love with him, it was like a electricity, you know?
Yeah. I do know, yeah.
And
the first time he touched me,
Jared nods encouragingly.
You mean you've had sex?
Lila gestures to the door.
Was that your girlfriend?
Who?
The girl you were lip-locked with just now?
Oh, no, she's just a friend.
Lila raises her brows suspiciously. She rolls her eyes with a smile.
Is kissing in India a big deal?
Well, you don't smooch your friends, that's for sure.
What's if I kiss, you'd have to marry then?
Lila's smile fades.
No.
Jared leans forward and kisses the corner of Lila's mouth. Lila smiles, her gaze trailing away. Nighttime. A river reflects the light from the windows of dozens of towering skyscrapers. A bicycle leans against a brick building. In the barred windows above, Lila sits with a distracted, distant gaze. She takes a breath and leans forward, her hands busy with unseen activity. She lifts her cell phone to her ear.
Hello? Hi, it's Lila. I was just wondering what you're up to. Yeah, that would be great. Okay. Bye.
She sets her phone down and a smile appears. Daytime. Lila and Hanum navigate a crowded sidewalk. Hanum keeps one hand on Lila's motorized chair and holds her mobility cane with the other. They enter an electronics store. Hanum approaches a clerk.
I'm looking for Miles Davis, Peaches of Spain.
Okay, we should have the one. Just give me 1 second.
Lila looks at a turntable.
Can I help you, miss?
No, I'm okay.
Where are you from?
India.
Wow, let me show you something I think you'll really like.
The clerk taps an iPad screen.
Namaste, Miss India.
Lila reaches for it. She taps letters on the touchscreen keypad.
How much is it?
Well, I can give you 10% off, so that would make it only $749, which is a really good deal.
I wish. I am on a scholarship.
Let me go talk to my manager and I'll see what I can do for you.
Ask him for 50% off.
I don't know if I can do 50%, but I like you, so I'll see what I can do.
In a gallery, visitors photograph an ancient stone gateway. Hanum runs her hand over a carved stone as she listens to an audio tour through headphones.
This is one of my secret ones.
Lila sits nearby. Hanum takes Lila's hand and holds it against the stone.
Move towards the higher end near the top.
Close your eyes and see better.
Carved into the flat surface are three concentric circles.
Feel the three concentric circles. This is the depiction of the world. It is encircled by a beautiful naked figure of a woman. The sky goddess, Nut, whose body is bent protectively over the world.
Hanum's hand drifts up Lila's arm.
I just want to see you.
Hanum's hand drifts across Lila's shoulder. Lila glances around self-consciously as Hanum's fingers graze her neck and brush over her cheek. Hanum leans close as her fingers stroke Lila's forehead. She closes her eyes and runs her thumb over Lila's nose, then her full, parted lips.
Rich, what?
Dude, you're so pretty.
So pretty that I feel like cursing you.
Lila smiles broadly. Later, Jared coasts on a bicycle, stopping at a city park. Lila sits thoughtfully, then moves a knight on a chess table, capturing her opponent's pawn. Jared sits on a nearby bench and smiles. Lila's opponent, the man with a graying beard, moves his piece, then looks up at Lila. Jared.
I didn't know you played chess.
Oh.
Check.
You're next to get beaten. Just like everybody else out here.
You're done.
Too much. You are too much.
Now in a locker room, Lila sits on a bench as Hanum removes her shorts and t-shirt. Lila looks up at Hanum's nude figure.
Can you pass me my bathing suit?
Lila passes the bathing suit to Hanum, her eyes fixed on Hanum's chest. She blinks and looks away. Hanum puts on the red bathing suit.
Come, let's get you changed.
Hanum slides Lila's bra straps off her shoulders. Lila holds one arm modestly across her chest and looks down. In a pool, Hanum swims on her back. She glides through the water until her head meets Lila's outstretched hand. Lila floats holding a long flotation buoy curled around her chest and under her arms. Hanum smiles as she pulls Lila through the water. At home, Lila lies curled on a bed, her head in her mother's lap. Mom holds a phone to her ear.
Baloo, there's such amazing snowfall here. And the room's cozy and warm with central heating. Remember I told you about Khanum? She's a very helpful girl. Tonight, Lila's going for a study sleepover at her house.
Mom strokes Lila's smooth, dark hair. At a nightclub, a band plays on stage. A server carries a tray of drinks. Lila and Hanum share a table.
Hi, when did I get here?
Can I have a housewife, please?
Sure.
Lila? A Coke? What? You think it's McDonald's?
Have a drink?
Yeah, I never had one.
Why don't you look at our cocktail list? Our piña coladas are really popular. We have sex on the beach, mojito, Manhattans. Anything you like.
Hanum turns to Lila expectantly.
Can I have a margarita with a straw?
Great choice. Okay, coming right up.
Hanum,
have you dated?
Lila laughs.
Why would anyone date me? Why do you put yourself down all the time? Let me do it for you. Because that has been my experience. For the last time. You are very beautiful.
Lila glances down with a bashful smile. The server returns.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Hanum holds her hands high and claps. Lila, wearing her hair pulled back and a yellow cardigan, nods slightly to the beat. Hanum wears a denim jacket with studs at the shoulders and deep fuchsia lipstick. Hanum stands. Her eyes closed, she sways to the music. Lila watches as she raises her arm, rolling her head from side to side. To make me head over. Hanum slides her jacket off her shoulders. She holds it up high and twirls it in the air, letting it land on Lila's lap. Hanum bounces, swivels her hips, and runs her hands over her hair. She reaches forward and grabs Lila's arm, pulling her away from the table. Hanum, wearing a sleeveless hot pink mini dress, dances around Lila's chair. Lila beams and waves her arms to the music. Hanum wiggles her hips in front of Lila. Rolling her shoulders, she leans back, draping her sashaying self over Lila's lap. As Hanum straightens, Lila moves back to the table, shaking her head playfully as Hanum reaches toward her. Later, in an apartment, Hanum sits at the foot of a bed beside Lila. Hanum leans closer as Lila takes a sip from Hanum's water glass.
Thank you.
Hanum sits up straight and drinks from the glass.
Can I get you some wine?
Hanum stands.
No. I have a headache.
A match casts a warm glow over Hanum's face as she lights a candle. She rejoins Lila at the foot of the bed.
Come. I'll give you the best head massage in the world.
Lila laughs as she lets Hanum guide her down, lying her head on Hanum's lap. Hanum strokes Lila's hair, then massages her temple with her thumbs. Hanum's hands caress Lila's head and stroke her face. Hanum gently rolls Lila's head toward her as she bends closer. Hanum's long feather earrings brush Lila's face as their lips meet. Lila responds with a slight smile, then pulls away from another kiss. Lila sits up and looks at her friend. Hanum keeps her gaze low, her hands in her lap. Lila reaches for Hanum's hand and pulls it toward herself. Hanum keeps her gaze low and distant. As Lila reaches for her shoulder, Hanum turns slightly toward her. Hanum brushes her cheek against Lila's fingers. She takes Lila's hand and kisses her fingers. Hanum wraps Lila's fingers in her hands as she moves closer, leaning her forehead against Lila's. They kiss. Hanum unbuttons Lila's shirt. She runs her hand over Lila's stomach and bra, then slides the shirt off one shoulder. Hanum stands and pulls her dress over her head. Lila gazes at her hot pink lace bra. Hanum kneels before Lila, running her hand up Lila's bare thigh. Lila runs her hand over Hanum's back. They lie together on the bed. Lila kisses Hanum's neck and the top of her breasts. Hanum wraps her arm around Lila and rolls her onto her back. Lila lies back, her eyes closed. She rolls her head to the side as she pants. One hand grips the pillow beneath her head. Another hand presses against her face. In the night, lights glow on a distant bridge. Now morning. A woman walks two dogs in a snowy park. A tram car follows a cable over the East River, gliding past the white trestles of the Queensboro Bridge. On the tram, Hanum holds Lila's hand. Hanum wears a straw pork pie hat over her loose hair and oversized sunglasses. Lila wears a denim jacket and her hair pulled back in a purple scrunchie. At home, Lila lounges in a bubble bath, smiling at the bubbles.
Lelu, that's enough bathing. Mom, there's no end to the hot water here.
Mom opens a browser window on a laptop and types H-O-T. Autocomplete suggests hotart.com. Mom clicks on the link and opens a porn site. She quickly shuts the laptop. In the bathroom.
Will you come out? Why?
Lila sits on a bed as Mom rubs her hair vigorously with a towel. Lila wears a hot pink robe. Mom's gaze fixes on Lila's neck.
Lelu?
Where's your gold chain?
Lelu?
It must have fallen off. It had such a strong clasp. How can it just fall off?
Mom steps away.
It's not in the bathroom either. The caregiver must have taken it. We trust these people and they take advantage.
Mom searches a drawer.
I'm going to phone her right now. Maybe that's why she didn't come to work today. Mom. No, Lelu. It can only be her. I pawned it. What? I bought an iPad. It's really cool. It even has a voice activator. It was your grandmother's chain. What happened to you, Lelu? But I wanted it for my studies. Studies? Surfing porn sites is studying? You should be ashamed of yourself.
Lila furrows her brow and shakes her head.
How dare you? This is my privacy. Privacy? You want privacy from me? I'll give you a tight slap if you talk to me like that.
Lila looks away. Later, she drives her chair down a sidewalk, stopping among a group of pedestrians at a crosswalk. Now at Hanum's place. Hanum lies on a rug, absently stroking Lila's bare feet. Lila sits back against a sofa.
Move in with me.
Lila opens her eyes and smiles.
And what should I tell my parents? Even in their wildest dreams, they wouldn't guess that we are lovers.
Lila's smile fades. At home in the small kitchenette, Mom tapes the label to a plastic food container. Doll. Three more labeled containers sit on the counter. One contains paneer makhani. She adds sliced onions to a frying pan and stirs. Outside, Lila takes something from her pocket and places it in Mom's hand, a mini Buddha figurine. Mom smiles. Lila types on her iPad.
I will miss you, I.
Mom hugs Lila tightly. Her smile becomes a worried frown as she holds her daughter close. She squeezes her eyes shut. Slowly, she lets go, planting a tender kiss on Lila's forehead. She strokes Lila's face as she gazes into her daughter's eyes. Mom picks up a bag and pats Lila's cheek. Mom waves from the back seat of a yellow taxi as it pulls away. Lila's smile fades as the taxi disappears. Inside, Lila turns a knob on a hot plate, then feels the air over a frying pan. She bangs an egg on the rim of the frying pan, dropping the entire shell into the pan.
Oh, fuck!
Holding another egg, Lila slides the pan off the hot plate onto the counter in front of her. She cracks the egg. Using both hands, she pulls the shell apart, dropping the contents into the pan. She grips the pan's handle with her bent hand and slides it onto the hot plate burner. Later, she holds a mixing bowl at the edge of the counter. Using a spatula, she scoops the remnants of four or five broken eggs into it. Now a turntable spins a vinyl LP. Hanum uses her fingertip to spread a pale frosted shadow over her eyelids. She swipes a makeup sponge under her brows, adding dark contouring.
After all this renovation, you better not break up with me for at least 2 years.
A man works in another room. Hanum opens a lip gloss. With one finger on her lip, swipes a hot pink tint over her lips. Lila leans close and kisses Hanum's cheek.
Do you want lip gloss? Yes.
Hanum holds the wand toward Lila's lips, but kisses them instead. And I love that you always say exactly what you think, and you yell at me whenever I leave stuff in the sink. On the tram car, a breeze ruffles Lila's t-shirt and the loose strands of Hanum's hair. On a beach, Hanum wraps her arm around Lila's waist and rests her head on Lila's shoulder. Nighttime. They sleep, sharing a bed. Alone, Lila crosses a busy city street. Running off anytime soon, 'cause I'm getting a little used to you here. So don't go. Hanum and Lila grip a shared umbrella as they huddle against the rain. 'Cause I'm getting a little used to you near. They sit together at the edge of the indoor pool. Side by side, they move along a brick plaza by the river. Nighttime on the tram. Hanum leans back against Lila as they cross over the river. On a subway, Hanum leans against a pole. Lila looks at her and beams a wide smile. The top of the Empire State Building glows in multicolored lights. Now, Lila Skypes with her parents on the iPad. Mom.
Lelu, please come home in summer break. Did you just win the lottery?
Papa.
I still didn't repay the debt of your outgoing flight. Might as well add another flight on. Happy Holi, Papa.
Hello, I.
How are you, Khanum? I'm good, thanks.
Laila guides Hanum's face toward the iPad.
Why don't you also come to India with Laila? I really want to come, I. But Laila never invites me.
Laila pinches Hanum.
What happened? Nothing. I'll definitely come now. Just pray to God that I get my visa.
Hanum pinches back.
You must come. Yes.
Hanum steps away.
Where is Monu? In the bathroom, as always.
Now at a convenience store.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Laila pulls a grocery bag onto her lap. At home, she sits at a counter as Hanum chops vegetables. Laila slides a dish of grated cheese closer and nibbles some.
Don't move anything around.
Laila slides the grated cheese back to its spot. Hanum allows a small, satisfied smile.
When did you figure out that, you know, you're gay?
Hanum stares distractedly as she chops. Later by the river, Lila's motorized chair sits abandoned on a walkway. Hanum and Laila sit on a blanket on the grass. Laila watches expectantly as Hanum stares thoughtfully.
Lying all the time and then feeling guilty about it later.
It just wasn't my thing. So I told them.
Then? What happened? My mother kissed me and hugged me. No way.
Of course not.
There was a full-scale drama. At first beatings, then
emotional blackmail, counseling,
howling, weeping. My parents would have a heart attack.
For me, I just like to be who I am all the time.
Laila glances down, then back to Hanum.
This is scary for me. It's wonderful, but so scary.
Lila's brow furrows slightly as her gaze drifts to the ground. Now in a library, Laila browses the mahogany wood shelves and scans the titles on the book spines.
Coming out, A Woman Like That.
She selects A Woman Like That, a purple volume with a photo of two women on the cover. She opens the book and reads. Later, still bent over the book, Laila straightens and glances out a window at passing traffic. Now Laila sits at a laptop in a small apartment. Outside an open door, rain falls. Jared rushes in, carrying an umbrella and a folding lawn chair. He sets his things down and closes the door.
It is tipping down with rain.
Laila glances over her shoulder, then back to her work. Jared joins her at the small table.
You can do some work too, you know.
No. Now that I know you can type so well and were conning me all this while.
It's because I thought you were cute.
So you don't think I'm cute anymore?
Laila looks down, smiling bashfully.
And now I have a... I am with someone.
So?
Jared flips through a magazine.
Can I use your bathroom?
Yes, it's just on the left.
Laila glances toward the bathroom.
I should help you.
Laila looks down somberly.
Okay, thank you.
Her head low, she follows Jared. In the bathroom, she stands, holding on to Jared's shoulders for support. Jared sits in front of her, slipping her panties down to her knees. Laila sits and Jared steps out. Lila rolls her eyes.
Okay, I'm done.
Jared returns and sits in front of Lila. Avoiding her eyes, he slides her lace and floral panties up over her thighs. Their heads lean close together. Lila turns toward him. She lifts her hand, then drops it. Jared looks up at Lila. She puts her arms on his shoulders, and he lifts her from the toilet. Lila turns her cheek toward Jared's. He turns to her, their lips close. Jared brushes a strand of hair from Lila's face. Later, on Jared's bed, Lila removes her socks. Jared, shirtless now, straightens her legs as she lies back.
Just relax, okay?
I'm feeling shit scared.
Don't worry.
Yeah.
Jared lies over Lila and kisses her. Lila squeezes her eyes shut as Jared thrusts on top of her. She throws her head back and her mouth goes slack. Jared rolls off and kisses Lila's cheek. He lies beside her, draping one arm across her chest. Lila holds and caresses his hand. Jared gazes at Lila. She stares at the ceiling. They lie together on the twin bed, legs and arms entwined. Nighttime. The view from the tram's window features a brightly lit Empire State Building. Morning. Lila lies back on Hanum's sofa. Lila stirs and sits up. Hanum enters, hanging her bag on a hook by the door. Lila watches as Hanum slides her hand along a counter. Finding a straw bowl, she places her keys inside. Hanum starts toward the sofa, running her hand over the back of Lila's motorized chair. She kneels on the floor, facing the chair.
I have bad news for you. What?
Hanum turns toward Lila and joins her on the sofa.
The Indian government has denied my visa.
Lila takes a deep breath and turns toward a window.
I've got the visa and the ticket.
A smiling Hanum flops back onto the sofa. Lila leans in, her face close to Hanum's. Evening. Across the East River, smoke billows from a power plant. Now, in Delhi, traffic follows a highway flyover past a tall steel sculpture suggesting a forest of bubbles on curving stalks. Mom drives the van beside Papa in the passenger seat. In the back, Lila, Hanum, and Manu. Mom wears a tunic with a golden scarf over her shoulders and a red dot low on her forehead. Papa wears a dress shirt and his red turban. Papa turns to Mom, who allows a smile. In the middle seat, Lila yawns. Sitting beside her, Hanum smiles. At home, they gather around a table. Lila takes a bite of bread. Mom spoons curry onto metal plates. Papa.
Maharashtrian eggplant. Again?
Mom.
So what? Nothing. No, go ahead. Just say it.
Under the table, Lila and Hanum touch toes.
Might even be possible to see a lion eating grass. But to see a Punjabi eating this stuff every day? Can't show my face in the community. So you should have married that Punjabi girl. Can't remember her name.
Manu.
Harneet.
Yes, Harneet.
Wo bana deti tumhe parathe aur butter chicken.
Khanum, my child, tell me, what's wrong with this?
It's really yummy.
Heard. Did you hear? Yes, I heard. Eggplants every day. You should have made something else.
At a salon, an esthetician massages a woman's foot, running her thumbs along the sole. In the next chair, another woman receives a foot massage. In the next chair, an esthetician massages a pair of hairy ankles. It's Dhruv.
Are you sure?
He, Lila, and Hanum wear matching robes.
Yes, she is.
Lila smiles at Hanum.
That's great. Evolved choice. How will you have kids?
Hanum.
Kid for the century, dude.
If Auntie finds out, they'll not just be bomb blasts, but serial blasts.
Hanum.
Mom's not like that at all. I've known Auntie for 540 years.
Don't underestimate her. Ai's a rock star. She's way ahead of my own Ammi. And I came out to her.
Lila's eyes flip thoughtfully. Now Mom and Lila sit in wicker chairs on a wide, breezy balcony. Mom sips a beverage and reads a magazine. Lila types letters on her iPad. B-I-S-E. Bisexual. Lila's finger hovers over the speak button.
Mom, I'm bi. Am I any less of a maid? What? No matter how educated Indian men are, at some level, women are just maids. Look at your own father. Come what may, he just wants my cooking. They should be lined up and made to wash clothes.
Laughing, Lila keels over sideways in her chair.
I'm not joking. I know. Mom. I love you, Mom.
Love you too.
Mom's smile lingers as she watches her daughter. Nighttime. In her bathroom, Mom places a small waxy red dot on a mirror beside three others. She unties her thick, wavy hair and lets it cascade around her shoulders. She removes her wig and sets it carefully on the vanity. She picks up a brush and tends to her own thinning hair, watching herself in the mirror. A clump of hair comes away on the brush. She stares at it, then somberly removes the hair and tosses it aside. She looks down, blinking tearfully. She looks at her reflection, then covers her face with her hands. She rubs her eyes. Daytime, on the patio. Lila and Hanum sit side by side in the wicker chairs. Lila turns to Hanum, who gazes serenely into the distance. Lila looks away. In the bathroom, Lila rinses Mom's hair with the handheld showerhead. Mom smiles as she tilts her head back.
Mom? You look like a heroine with your short hair.
Lila runs a bar of soap over her mother's shoulders and arms.
Mom? You know that thing I was saying about being bi? Now you're well and truly a maid because of me. Give.
Mom takes the soap.
I meant...
Bi, thank you.
Bi what? What does it mean?
I love
Kanum, Mom.
Huh?
Yes, we all love her. She's so nice. Mom, Kanum's my girlfriend.
Mom's lips part in a confused grimace. Her eyes widen and she turns to Lila. They hold each other's gaze. Mom blinks and turns away. Mom shakes her head in disgust. Now Lila sits at the table. She glances up toward the kitchen. Mom brusquely sets a cup with a straw in front of Lila.
Not done, Mom. You're being a hypocrite. Who's put this in your head? There's nothing hypocritical here.
Lila types on her iPad.
Of course there is, Mom. Don't argue, Layla. This isn't normal.
Lila types.
That's what the world said about me, too. What's your problem now?
Back in the kitchen, Mom glances over her shoulder. Lila looks toward the kitchen. She shakes her head and closes the iPad app. She folds the cover over the iPad and shoves it across the table. Later, the family eats at the table. Manu whispers to Papa.
Ask. You ask. No, you.
Papa turns to Mom.
Monu's insisting on being taken for the cricket match.
Manu.
If we don't buy the tickets today, they'll finish. Ask your mother. What can I say? Mom, please. I've even finished studying. This is Khanum's first trip to India. How can we let her go without watching a cricket match?
Mom leaves the table.
Mom!
Lila and Hanum watch silently.
Papa, now you handle it. What can I do?
In a cobblestone alley, a rattling ball bounces toward Hanum. She whacks it with a wide cricket bat.
Manu, play gently.
Manu shakes another ball.
Play.
He pitches it toward Hanum, who swats away with the bat.
Go, Khanum, play.
Manu pitches. A handful of neighborhood kids step aside as the family van approaches the alley.
Manu?
The van rolls to a stop. An unsmiling man steps out. He heaves a heavy breath as he walks toward the cricket game. Lila watches expectantly. Now, the man escorts Lila and Manu through the hospital waiting area. Papa meets them. He shakes the man's hand.
Hi.
Papa sits in front of Lila.
Where's Mom? She's inside. The doctor said we can see her soon. Why has she been admitted?
Papa glances away from Lila's pointed stare.
I can't hide it from you anymore. Your mother has colon cancer, second stage relapse. Layla, your mother is a fighter.
She'll definitely beat it, huh?
Lila's jaw falls slack. Her chin quivers. Papa steps into a hospital room and holds the door open. From her bed, Mom watches Lila enter the room. A nurse.
One of you has to wait outside. Yes.
Lila positions her chair alongside Mom's bed. Mom weakly extends a hand and Lila clasps it. They pull each other into a hug.
Sorry.
Lila buries her tearful face in Mom's shoulder. The women separate. Mom holds Lila's face, then lies back. Lila forces a smile.
Hey, nothing will happen. Go back to America.
Lila's smile disappears. Mom holds her daughter's tear-stained cheek.
How's Khanum?
Lila closes her eyes and more tears spill. She rests her hand on her mother's forehead. Later, Lila rides in the van, watching intently out the open window. She stares down at the floor as warm light from a setting sun washes over her face. She drapes her hand over the door frame and rests her chin on it, gazing absently outside. Night at home. Lila lies awake in a shared bed between Hanum and Papa. Lila stares at the ceiling, then at Hanum. Daytime. Using her walker, Lila moves into a sunroom. She sits heavily across from Hanum.
Okay? Yeah.
Lila looks at Hanum, then slowly turns away, lips working silently.
I'm sorry, Hanum.
Hanum's face grows serious.
You're not coming back to New York, right?
I am.
Definitely.
Hanum smiles.
One day in New York, at Jared's house, while we were working, I had sex with him.
What do you mean? When we were together?
One.
How could you?
I wasn't thinking. I was confused. I know what I did was wrong. So by fucking you, Jared gave you a certificate of normalcy? No. It happened in the moment. How convenient. Jared could see me. That's why.
Hanum gapes. Nighttime. Cars line both sides of a narrow street outside an apartment building. Inside, Lila lies awake. She shares a bed with Manu and Papa. Lila's eyes widen and she turns toward her father's quivering shoulders. As Manu sleeps, Lila gets out of bed. She uses her walker to move to her father's side. She sits beside him and rests a hand on his shoulder. Lila places another hand over his head. Daytime. Lila and Hanum sit facing each other on a mat on the balcony. Hanum tilts her head thoughtfully.
You used me. To take care of you. Fill your loneliness.
Lila stares off to the side, working her jaw. She meets Hanum's gaze.
So I was a stopgap till you could find a boyfriend, right? No, Hanum. That's not fair.
Hanum stands.
After doing all this, you have the fucking balls to call me unfair? You should have told me then and finished it off. Why carry on a charade all this while? I didn't want to lose you.
Now what? You think I won't leave you because of I?
I don't want secrets anymore.
Hanum walks away, closing the patio's metal door behind her. Lila sits alone, her head bent low. Nighttime. Traffic passes outside Dharmashila Hospital. Inside, Lila dozes beside Mom's bed. Lila wakes as Mom tosses uncomfortably. Lila moves closer and takes her mother's hand. An oxygen mask sits over Mom's face.
My feet are feeling cold. Nurse, can we get some woolen socks? The blanket should suffice.
Nurse, socks, now!
1 minute, Mom.
Lila moves to the foot of the bed. She rubs her mother's bare feet and massages her toes. Mom winces and grabs at her oxygen mask. Lila covers Mom's feet with a plaid blanket, then moves Mom's hand from the oxygen mask.
No, just let it be for a little longer.
Mom settles her head into the pillow, breathing deeply.
Good girl, Mom.
Lila watches her mother's face. Lila sits alone in a corridor, gazing out a window. At home, Papa waits by the microwave oven. Lila brushes her teeth in the bathroom. Hanum and Manu play cards in the hospital waiting area. Papa sleeps across a row of chairs. Lila works at her laptop at home. She uses her walker on the balcony. Hanum opens the glass face of her wristwatch and feels the time. Lila holds her mother's stringed instrument in her lap. Lila sits at the foot of her sleeping mother's bed. Now intubated, a breathing tube connects her to hoses, and a paper cap covers her hair. Lila reaches under the sheets for Mom's feet. Manu and Papa sit nearby, watching Mom. Papa's head turns as a doctor comes in. Papa's eyes drift from the doctor to Mom.
I'm sorry. She's gone.
Mom lies still, her bed surrounded by her husband, children, and two more family members. Sobbing, Lila leaves the room. Hanum and Samira wait in the corridor. They watch Lila's retreating figure. At home in the bathroom, Hanum holds Lila's head against her chest. Now, Lila sits before a mirror. She grabs a hairbrush, then slowly lifts her gaze to her reflection. Her smooth dark hair is pulled back in a ponytail. She wears a fuchsia tunic and beaded pendant earrings. She drops the brush and turns away from the mirror. Lila leaves the room and rolls down a hall. She passes through a curtained doorway. The family's large main room is cleared of the table and sofa. Dozens of mourners have gathered. Many turbaned and veiled men and women sit on the floor. Others stand in back. Mom's body lies surrounded by white daisies. She's wrapped in a gold-colored sari, her hands folded neatly. Papa and Manu sit together in front.
Papa, can you play this for Mom?
Another man responds.
Lila, my child, let the rituals be over first.
Papa turns to Manu, who stands. Wearing white trousers and a long white tunic, he steps gingerly through the crowded room toward Lila and takes a CD. Nima and other friends from Ram Jas College stand in the back of the room. A man sitting beside Papa chants. Papa turns to Lila, then back to Mom. Manu places the CD in a player. Papa turns to the chanting man beside him.
Pandit ji, one moment please.
Lila shares a smile with Dhruv. Hanum puts her hand on Lila's knee. Papa stands. He and Manu help Lila from her chair into the front of the room. Lila sits and puts her hands over her mother's. She gazes at Mom's serene face. Later, Lila and Hanum go through Mom's things. Lila takes a deep blue scarf and holds it to her face. Outside, Lila traces a finger over the blue and white van. Inside, she watches Hanum gather a stack of clothes and place them in a suitcase. Lila lowers her head as Hanum continues to pack. On the large whitewashed balcony, chairs stand empty. Inside, Lila and Hanum sit together by a stack of luggage. Lila puts her arm around Hanum and pulls her close. Hanum's face crumbles tearfully. At night, Lila rolls along a sidewalk, silhouetted by passing headlights. At home, she removes pushpins from a wall of photos. Her gaze lingers on a black and white photo. Lila, laughing, brushes her fingers against Mom's chin. Mom bends her head toward her daughter, a modest smile crossing her lips. Evening. Papa, Lila, and Manu sit in the living room watching TV. Manu reaches for a remote, which Papa hands to him. Lila reaches toward her father and lies across the space between them on the sofa. Papa pats Lila's hand. Have a look at them. Now at a park, Lila gazes out across a lake. She turns, her attention drawn upward. Slowly, her gaze returns to the ground and grows distant. Lila looks up again, blinking in the bright light. Pigeons gather on a nearby temple's domed roof. Lila smiles as she watches, seated on a crumbling stone wall high above the lake. In a salon, a hairdresser spreads Lila's long hair.
Lila, your straight hair is great. Tony, please try something different today. Of course.
Lila answers her phone.
Hey, listen, we're going for a movie. Some other time?
I have a name.
Hello, with who?
Lila rides in the van. She leans her head out the open window, allowing the breeze to stir her long, loose waves. Papa rolls her chair down from the back of the van and brings it to the front passenger seat.
Lila.
Come.
Papa opens the door. Lila wears an orange dress and mustard yellow flats. Papa helps her down from the van and into her waiting chair. She drives forward, turning back to wave to Papa. He smiles and waves as he watches her go, now at a restaurant table.
Ma'am, your margarita.
Lila takes a plastic mug from her purse.
Pour it in this, please.
He sets the filled mug in front of her. Lila fits a lid onto the mug, then inserts a long, silly straw. She takes a sip. She looks up, and someone catches her eye. Lila's rapt gaze lingers a moment. She breaks into a smile and laughs. She raises her mug, toasting her reflection in a nearby mirror. Lila takes another luxurious sip of margarita. Her eyes close and her head tilts back. She beams at a reflection, then puckers her pink lips in a kiss. Margarita with a straw. For my son, Ishan, 1994 to 2010. A quote appears. The wound is the place where the light enters you, if you let it. Rumi. It entered me on your 17th birthday, when I was able to celebrate you even though you were no longer here. And that night, Margarita with a Straw was born. For my son, Vivan, my fellow traveler, the light in your eyes heals my wound every day. Credits. Subtitles voiced by Rupa Krishnan. Audio description voiced by Michelle Spitz. Fiscal sponsorship for audio description, New York Women in Television and Film. Funded by Woman of Her Word.
Chuck.